Yom Daf Mem Chef. We are on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We are about a third of the way from the bottom of the Amud at the two dots. Today's Daf is dedicated almost exclusively in terms of a how-to of how to do Kemitza and how to do Chafina. Granted, of course, that these are avodas that are done by a Kohen and Kohen Gadol respectively in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So it is halacha lemaisa extraordinarily limited. But nevertheless, the Gemara is going to be dedicating itself in terms of what is proper procedure of how to do Kometz and how to do Chafina. We got onto this topic because yesterday we started the fifth parak of the Masechta, and we introduced ourselves to the idea that the Kohen Gadol is going to be putting together two handfuls of the Ketores in order to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Torah's description is Malo Chafnav. And yesterday in the Mishnah, we did a very basic description of what exactly the Kohen's going to be doing, the Kohen Gadol. And so with that stated, and without further ado, let's start with the Daf Amar HaPapa. So the Gemara is going to be discussing this in the context of numerous questions that are asked by Rav Papa. Question number one. Amar HaPapa Pshitali Malokim So Kitakamsi Inshi. So when the Torah gives the instructions of Malokim So, so that's the way it's typically done, generally done. And obviously, as far as this Gemara is concerned, the Gemara over here would have been much better as a visual medium as opposed to a audio medium. And if you are listening to this, so admittedly, it's going to be a little bit hard if I try to demonstrate and showcase exactly what I think is going on in the Gemara over here. And all you get to do is hear, but I'll give hopefully a decent description of what we're trying to communicate over here. The Gemara starts off by saying that according to Rav Papa, Malokum So is Kitakamsi Inshi, it is the way that it is typically done. Now, what is the way that it's typically done? So I'm imagining, and hopefully I'm correct, is that basically what the Kohen's going to be doing is that he's going to take his hand and put it into the mincha, almost like a karate chop, where it's going to be that his hand is going to go down in almost like a chopping motion, and that it goes into the flour and oil. And then what he's going to do is he's going to take his fingers and put it over his palm in order to capture the kometz of the mincha. By Rav Papa, with that stated, Rav Papa has the following question. Kometz be rashe etzba osav mahu. What if he does a scoop with the tips of his fingers? Now, exactly what that means. So from Rashi, what it sounds like is the following. And again, my description over here is my understanding of Rashi. And hopefully I'm pretty accurate, but I'm not sure. Anyway, what I think is going on over here is that he's going to be taking his hand palm down over the mincha, and he's going to be, as his hand is almost directly over the mincha, he's going to be sticking his fingers now into the mincha in order to try to capture the kometz. So that is Rashi Etzbosov. Milamata Lamalamahu. Next question of Rav Papa is where basically he's going to be taking the back of his hand and putting it directly over the flour, and then he's going to be inserting his fingertips into the flour. And then, in Atzad de Mahu, again, based on Rashi, what it sounds like over here is that he's going to be taking his hand with the palm up and the backside down, and he's going to be submerging it into the mincha so that eventually the flour is going to be running over the sides of his hands in order for him to be able to catch the kometz. So these are three quick successive questions that are asked by Rav Papa in terms of whether or not this is going to be acceptable, meaning this is not the standard practice of how to do Kemitza. This is considered variant ways of doing it. And is it going to be halachically acceptable? Teiku, the Gemara leaves all these questions unresolved. We are now moving to the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Three questions. It's going to be a fourth question. But questions over here, very similar to the ones that we just asked. But instead of asking regarding the Kemitza, we're now going to be asking regarding the Chafina. Amar Papa, Pshita Li, it's obvious to me, Malo Chafnav Kedachafne Inshi. So when describing the Kohen Gadol doing the Avoda of collecting the Ketores on Yom Kippur, so it's going to be in a standard manner. And again, I hope I'm right. I'm assuming that standard manner over here is that what the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing is he's going to take his hands, bring it into the pile of the Ketores, cup them together in the Ketores, and then, of course, lift his hands out. So that, the Gemara is assuming, is standard practice, and under those circumstances, you are obviously doing it correctly by Rav Papa. Now, with that stated, Rav Papa has the following questions. Chafan Barashi Etzbosav Mahu, what if he does it with his fingertips? Again, kind of like what we described earlier, in that it's going to be palm down, and he's going to be scooping the Ketores out with his palms down. Olamala Milamata lamalamahu. Again, inserting his hands into the Ketores, but with his fingers first. Minatzad mahu. Or what if he just submerges his hands into the Ketores, and so that the Ketores now is running over the sides of his hands. Chafim bezu uvezu v'karvan zu etzol zu mahu. Over here, we're going to be adding one more question, which we didn't ask regarding the comets, and that is that what if he takes out two scoops individually, one in his right hand, one in his left hand, and then after he brings it out of the pile, then he puts his two hands together, teku, all these questions are remaining unresolved. Ba'i Rav Papa. As now we turn to the top of Mem Chesam and Aleph, the Gemara now is going to be continuing with more questions. Davke, lekomets bedofne demanamai. What if you take the comets, we're back to the topic of comets, and you press it against the side of the interior of a kli sharis? Just as a brief introduction and a reminder in terms of the comets of a mincha, so the comets of the mincha has four stages, four steps, just like the shachting of a carbon has four steps, so there are going to be four parallel steps as it relates to the kmitza of a mincha. First step of the kmitza is going to be the actual, first step of the mincha is going to be the comets. That's going to be where the Kohen takes his hand and removes a kmitza of the flower. That's going to be analogous to the shechting of an animal. Step number two is going to be where he's going to transfer it from his hand into a second kli shares, and that's going to be tantamount, that'll be parallel to the Kabbalah Sadam in the shechting of a carbon. Step number three is halacha, bringing it to the mizbech, which is not, you don't have to be creative. That is an identical parallel to the halacha that is done by the blood of a karban. And the last one is going to be burning it on the top of the mizbech. By karban, obviously, you sprinkle it on the side of the mizbech, but when it comes to the mincha, you're going to be burning on the top of the mizbech. So over here, what the Gemara is now proposing and asking is that when you take the comets and you bring it into the kli, into the second kli, in order to give it the proper kedusha so that now it could be brought up onto the mizbech. So instead of putting it on the bottom of the kli, let's say you paste it on the side of the kli. Now, by blood of a carbon, obviously that's not an option. It's a liquid, and it's just simply going to you just go to the bottom of the kli. The Gemara wants to know now that with the comets, where it is flour and oil, so it's sticky, and if I put it in the kli, but instead of allowing it to go to the bottom, I just simply stick it to the side, would that be acceptable? Would that be okay? And tokli beina. And the Gemara goes over the two sides of this question. On one hand, you could say that it just simply knows it needs to go into the interior of ha'ika, and you have that over here. Odilma hanach besocho kitik no beina v'aleka. On the other hand, however, this is not the normal way in which it's placed into the kli. Normally, it goes into the bottom of the kli, and here you don't have that. And so teku. And again, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. By Mar Barav Ashi. The Gemara asks another question. It's similar. What if, let's say, you invert the kli sharis and you're putting now the comets on the bottom of the kli? Now, it is not perfectly clear exactly what the Gemara is asking over here. And again, a visualization of the Gemara over here would be unbelievably helpful. From Rashi. Rashi in Menachos is a lot clearer about what exactly he understands this this case over here is trying to describe. Basically, what we are looking at is that you're taking the kli sharis and you're inverting it, and there is a toch on the inversion. If you can imagine a bottle of wine, as you flip over the bottle of wine, so you'll see that the bottom is concave, so that it is there is a toch even as you flip it over. So the Gemara now wants to know is that if you flip over the kli sharis and you're putting it now in the inverted bottom, so is that considered acceptable? So hanacha besocha be'inan va'ika. So the Gemara over here once again goes over the two sides. On one hand, it is a hanacha that you're doing inside, and therefore you have that odom hanacha kitikno be'inan v'leika. Or this is just simply considered a variation. It's considered a deviancy, and it doesn't constitute a normal placing in the kli. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. By Rav Papa, the Gemara asks another question attributed to Rav Papa. Meloch afnav she'amru mechukos kedushos. Now, the Kohen Gadol is going to be taking his two hands, cupping them in the Ketores, and then removing them with the Ketores in his two hands. Good, that's the Meloch afnav that the Torah describes. The Gemara now wants to know, is it going to be leveled off, or is it going to be a heaping pile? Amr le Rabbi Abba le Rav Ashi, Tashma, Meloch afnav she'amru lo mechukos velo kedushos ela tifufos. And so the Gemara says neither. It's neither going to be a heaping pile, nor is it going to be leveled. It's going to be just a little bit above the perimeter of his hands. Tanan Hasam. The Gemara now is about to ask another question, but in order for the Gemara to ask another question, it needs to give us a little bit of introduction. Normally, I'm the one providing the introduction, but over here, so I just simply have to read the Gemara, because the Gemara here is going to be providing the necessary introduction in order to appreciate and understand the upcoming question. Tanan Hasam, we start with a Mishnah. The Mishnah over here teaches us that when it comes to Kabbalah Sadam, so what we have to do is that we have to receive the blood directly from the neck of the animal. And the Mishnah goes on to teach us, Nishpach Adam al-Rizpah v'asfo, let's say, the blood goes from the neck of the animal directly onto the floor, pasul. The blood is not considered qualified, the blood is now disqualified, and you're going to have to do the carbon all over again. Minakli al-Rizpah v'asfo, let's say, the blood was collected in a klisharis, and then from the klisharis it fell onto the floor, and then you collect it from the floor kosher. Under those circumstances, it's going to be kosher. So the halacha is extraordinarily straightforward, and that means to say that if blood goes from the goes directly from the neck of the carbon after checked onto the floor, pasul, if it first goes into the klisharis and then falls onto the floor subsequently, it's going to be kosher. Minahani mili, the Gemara now, before even addressing the question which it wants to get to, but the Gemara now wants to cite the drush in terms of how we know this halacha. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, v'lakach midam apar. Again, the pasuk doesn't read v'lakach midam apar. V'lakach is one phrase of the pasuk, midam apar is another. So, midam hanefesh. So it means to say that you have to take the dam hanefesh after you shecht an animal. So the first gush of blood that comes out is described as dam hanefesh, and that is the blood that is necessary for the kapara. V'lo midam or v'lo midam hatamtzis. You can't take blood that is subcutaneous. You can't take any blood that is basically trickling in afterwards. You have to take that blood, that lifeblood that's coming out immediately after you shecht it. That's drasha number one. It happens to be that drasha number one is not relevant to our discussion. It's the second drasha which the Gemara is about to quote, which is germane to our discussion. Midam apar. So now as far as that second drasha is concerned, so dam mehapari kablan, you have to receive the blood directly from the neck of the animal. If you notice carefully what just happened over here in this drasha, so the pasuk midam apar, we're going to be taking the mem from the midam, we're going to be cutting it, and we're going to be pasting it to the next word of hapar. So instead of the pasuk reading midam apar, we're going to read the pasuk dam mehapar. And that means to say that the blood has to come directly from the neck of the animal into a klisharis. If it does not, meaning it goes on the floor, so then it's not going to be kosher. So this is a cut and paste. And the Gemara says, Isak dacha midam apar. Now, for a moment, let's entertain the idea that we're not going to do a cut and paste, and we're going to darshan the pasuk as it's read. The Gemara says, he can't do that. Midam v'afilu mixas dam, which means to say that in terms of collecting the dam and nefesh, so it's going to be mixas dam, it's going to be just some of the blood. V'amar av yuna, mekabal sarach shikabal is called dam v'shapar. Kabbalah, by definition, means that you have to accept all and collect all the blood of the par. So just to collect some of it is simply unacceptable. Shenemar, the pasuk, it's a beferish pasuk. V'es kol dam ha-par yishpoch le'yisar mezbeach. So elish mamina, my midam apar, so dam me'apar yikablanu. So therefore, what we're going to have to do is that since we cannot accept the simple reading of the pasuk because it really goes against another pasuk in the Torah, so therefore what we're going to do is we're going to cut and paste. We're going to take the mem from the midam, we're going to move it over to the par, and it reads now dam me'apar, which is teaching us the halacha that it has to be collected directly from the neck of the animal. Dam me'apar yikablanu. V'kasavar garinu mosifim v'darshin. And the Gemara points out, just as an obvious conclusion, is that cutting and pasting is acceptable. Meaning by taking the mem and moving it from the first word into the second word, even though you're coming out now with a new understanding of the pasuk, but that in fact is going to be an acceptable form of darshaning. And so Tosfos over here, we're not going to go through the Tosfos, but if you just take a quick look, second Tosfos over here is bothered by the fact that sometimes the Gemara is comfortable with a little cut and paste, like we just did over here, and then meanwhile, at other times, the Gemara balks at the idea that you can do a cut and paste. The Tosfos quotes the beginning of the Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara has a line over there. Sakina Harifa Demifsik Alakra, you're going to take this hot knife and just simply have a cut through Pesukim, meaning you can't do that. So Tosfos is bothered by the fact that sometimes the Gemara is perfectly comfortable with this cut and paste, and sometimes the Gemara is not at all comfortable with cut and paste, and yesh v'yesh, and you have to work out exactly when the Gemara finds comfort with this idea and when the Gemara does not. All this now brings us to the following question. That was all by way of introduction. And now by Rapapa, now we can ask the question of Rapapa, which is, let's say the Kohen Gadol, after having filled up his cupped hands with the Ketores, and falls down to the ground. So now, do we equate his hands to like the neck of an animal? And just like the blood goes directly from the neck of the animal to the floor, it's going to be pasul. So too, when the keteres goes from the hands of the Kohen Gadol onto the floor, it's going to be pasul. That's one possibility. Or maybe no, maybe we're going to compare it to a kli sharis. And just like we learned that the blood, after having been collected to the kli sharis going onto the floor, is going to be kosher. So too now, if the keteres goes from the hands of the Kohen Gadol, if we're assuming they're like a kli sharis, and when it falls to the floor, it's going to be kosher. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Good. So that was the next question of Rav Papa. And just if we can add a little bit more Havana, a little bit better understanding of this question, this back and forth. So over here, without quoting the Ritva inside, I'm going to say over Ritva. Ritva right over here in the Gemara goes on to explain the following, in terms of just enhanced understanding of what we just went through. So you'll notice, as the Ritva makes mention, that the Gemara does not mention whatsoever this question as it relates to the Kemitza. It only asks a question regarding the Maloch Hafna. How come the Gemara doesn't ask this by the Kemitza? So the Ritva says it's very simple. Why? Because we know that when it comes to the Kometz, the Torah is very clear in terms of the order of operations. First, you do the Kemitza, take a Kometz off of the Mincha. Then you're going to be transferring it over into a Kli Shares. Then your Holacha. And then Haktara. Then you're burning on the top of the Mizbeach. Good. So when you do the Kemitza and that Kometz is in your hand, so there, unequivocally, the Gemara doesn't even have to make this point because it's so clear, unequivocally, the Kometz that's in your hand is tantamount to the blood coming out of the neck of the animal. Why? How do we know that? Because it's very simple. Because just like the blood has to go from the neck of the animal into Kli Shares, so too the Kometz has to go now from the Mincha into that second Kli Shares. So that means that when you are handling the Kometz, when you're taking the Kometz out, so that really is just simply no different than just simply shechting the animal. And now having the blood not yet being received in the Kli Sharis. In fact, it's going to go into a Kli Sharis. So when the Kometz is in the hand of the Kohen who does the Kemitza, so clearly over there, that is going to have the status of blood coming out of the neck of the animal. And therefore, if it falls from this hand onto the floor, it's going to be pasul. And that the Gemara didn't need to entertain, there's no question that that is in fact the case because it is going to go into Kli Sharis. Okay, good. Now the Ritva goes, brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it does go into a Kli. Now we can ask the question that we asked yesterday. Does it need to go into a Kli? And the answer, of course, is no. It does not need to go into a Kli. In fact, as we learned in yesterday, if there was a way in which we could bring the Meloch Hafnav of the Keteres into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without having to transfer into a Kli, we certainly would have. It just happens to be that there's no pragmatic way to do so, and therefore we introduce the Kli, the Kaf. But meanwhile, the Kaf is not a necessary component of the Chafina. And so now, explains the Ritva, that's exactly the Gemara's question over here. The Gemara wants to know, we know that it's going to go into a spoon, so it will be transferred from the hands of the Kohen Gadol, the Chafina, into a Kaf, and so maybe we can view it as if it is going from the neck of the animal into a Kli Sharis. Good. On the other hand, as we already pointed out yesterday, we just reviewed, it didn't have to, theoretically, technically, it didn't have to go into the Kaf. It's only because of the practical considerations. But technically speaking, the Keteres can go directly into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so therefore, it really doesn't follow the model of the Kemitza, in which the Kemitza is going to go into a Kli Sharis. It has to go into the second Kli Sharis, but the Keteres does not necessarily have to go into the Kli Sharis. And that is why the Gemara leaves the question unresolved as it relates to the Chafina, if it falls into the floor, whether or not it's going to be having, whether it's going to be pasul or whether it's going to be kosher. Good. By Rav Papa. Continuing now in the Gemara, Chisha b'Chafinas Keteres Mahu. Let's say the Kohen Gadol, while filling his hands with the keteres, let's say he has a machshavas pickle. He thinks to himself that he's going to be offering it the next day. Obviously, it's chosos mano. Obviously, under normal circumstances, by a normal avoda. So that would create pigle, that would affect pigle, and that's true for an avoda of a carbon. That would be true for an avoda of a mincha. But again, as it relates to the maloch hafnav of the guitarist, so it's really hard to put into terms what exactly is the avoda. It's so unusual, it's so unprecedented. So would there be a machshavas pigle by the filling your hands of the maloch hafnav? So the Gemara says, mi amrini yalef malom malom mi mincha. So do we learn the gzera shava? This is now the second day in a row in which the Gemara entertains the idea that there's a gzera shava linking the komets of a mincha to the melo chafnav of the kitares. And so maybe if in fact we do have the gzera shava, so just like mahasam mehanya ba machshava, so certainly we know that a machshava ra is going to affect a mincha. So hachinami mehanya ba machshava. So maybe over here, a machshava would affect it, Allah. Or the Gemara says no. Maybe there is the gzera shava is not to be made. Or maybe you could suggest that gzera shava is made. It just simply doesn't lead us to this particular conclusion. However you want to say it, the Gemara says no, maybe not. Maybe the Ketores and the Melo Chafen of the Ketores is so unusual and so unprecedented, we're not going to be learning it from the comments. Okay. Amar Rav Shimon bar Ashi l'Rav Papa, Tashma. So although many of the questions, in fact, all the questions that we have asked so far has gone unresolved, the Gemara over here seeks resolution on this particular question. So Rav Shimi Barashi says to Rav Papa Tashma, well, let's consider. And that is based on a Mishnah. Mishnah over here is in Adios. Hosif Rabbi Akiva, Solus, Ktaros, Lavona, Gachalim, Sheim Naga, Tvulyam, Bim Miksa, Sampasos, Kula. So we know that when you have these certain types of, we'll call them carbonus, but they are all items that are going to go onto the mizbeach, the flour, right? A small correction of the Gemara, it says comets should be solus. The flour, the kataris, so the lavona gachalim, all these things are granule in nature. Coal's not so much, but they're all granule in nature. And if a tful yom were to touch part of it, meaning it was in a bowl, and a tful yom touched part of it, so it all now becomes posel. Tful yom is going to be posel. He's going to disqualify anything that he touches. Otherwise stated, he's going to be mitame it. And so therefore, if he touches part of it, it's all going to become tame. This is the idea of tziruf. And we know that when it comes to a kli sharis, a kli sharis is going to create tziruf. So when the tful yom touches part of it, it's all going to be posel. So kasa gadachem in the pasul tful yom pasul namelina. So the Gemara now makes a couple of logical jumps. What it thinks is a logical jump. If these items, and included in this item is in fact the kataris, if these items are going to be rendered pasul through tziruf, so then it stands to reason that they're also going to be disqualified through lina as well. Meaning that if they're left beyond its allotted time, i.e. overnight, so then it's going to become disqualified. Now, if it's subject to the lina psul, the Gemara is going to make one more logical jump. So then it should be disqualified also by even a machshavas lina, otherwise what we call pigle. Meaning when you consider while doing the avoda that it's going to be that it's going to be offered at the wrong time, so that would also be considered a psul of pigle. Gemara, therefore, feels that on this question, yes, it would, in fact, be subject to the disqualification of Machshavas Pegel. By Rav Papa, as now we move to the Amud Beis, two more questions to cover in today's daf. Chishev b'chatiyas kechalamahu. Let's say while collecting the coals, the Kohen Gadol has a machshava that he's going to be offering at the wrong time. Is that going to be a disqualification? So machshira mitzvah ke mitzvah dami olam. So is this obviously, the coals themselves are not the are not considered the actual avoda, meaning that the ketores, the burning of the ketores is what is considered the avoda, but obviously you can't burn the ketores without the coals. The coals now are a necessary component. And so what the Gemara now is entertaining is that a machshava on the machshirin is tantamount to having a machshava on the actual mitzvah itself. And so therefore it would be disqualified. Rashi over here offers two pshatim in terms of when we say it will be disqualified. What's the it that's going to be disqualified? Rashi entertains maybe we're talking about the guitarist, meaning that the coals are so linked to the guitarist that a machshav on the coals is going to affect the guitarist. Or Rashi's second pshat is that the machshav is going on the actual coals themselves. Either way, that's the Gemara's question. Take it, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. One more question for this daf. Let's say halacha is done with your left hand. Just as a brief introduction to this particular question of the Gemara over here, we know that when it comes to the carbon, as we already pointed out a couple of times in the shir, there are four avodas. Shechita, Kabbalah Sadam, Holacha, Zrika. Holacha, if you remember, your Gemara is in Zvachim. So Holacha, although it is an avoda, and during the avoda of Holacha, you're certainly eligible to create disqualifications during this avoda. It is just as much an avoda as the others. However, it's an avoda with a lowercase ayin. Okay, I made that up. All right, but you understand that Holacha, in general, is not treated with the same kind of significance and import as the other avodas, for a very simple reason. Because when offering a karban, it cannot be done without shechita, cannot be done without kabbalas adam, and again, it cannot be done without zrika, obviously. However, holacha, you could skip. How are you going to skip holacha? If you happen to be shechting the karban right next to the mizbeach, holacha is just simply unnecessary. So holacha is always given the status of being a somewhat inferior type of avoda. With that in mind, the Gemara now wants to know that although every avoda has to be done with the right hand of the Kohen, if an avoda is done with the left hand of the Kohen, that would be an avoda psula. How about doing holacha with the left hand? Considering that holacha is a somewhat lower level type of avoda, so maybe, not advocating, not condoning it, but maybe if the holacha was done with one's left hand, with the Kohen's left hand, so maybe it would be kasher. So Amalu Rav Sheshes Tin Nisuha. So Rav Sheshes says, I know the answer. Goes back to the mission that we learned in yesterday's daf. Natos Amachta B'Yamino V'Ezekaf B'Smolo. That when the Kohen Gadol now is going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the shovel is going to be held in his right hand. The spoon of the Ketoros is going to be held in his left hand. The Gemara says, there you have it. So V'Niv Shalu Mehad Nan. The Gemara says, okay. It seems to be a wonderful raya. Happens to be that I think we have another raya as well. Mishnah in Tamid. So we learned when the Kohanim are marching up the ramp in order to bring the Tamid, so there are going to be five Kohanim, each one of them going to be holding two pieces, one in the right hand and one in the left hand. And so for each one of the Kohanim, they're doing a holacha with holding a part of the Karman Tamid in their left hand. This would seem to be also another really good proof. The Gemara is just bothered over here now in that we seem to have two very strong proofs to this idea that Holacha B'Smol is going to be kosher. We have our Mishnah over here in Yuman, the first Mishnah of the fifth parak. And meanwhile, there's also another Mishnah in Tamid. So why are we pointing to our Mishnah over here when meanwhile, the Mishnah in Tamid seems to be just as good? To which the Gemara says, no. The Mishnah in Tamid is talking about marching the pieces of the carbon tamid up the ramp. If, let's say we were to skip that step altogether, have we achieved kapara? The answer, of course, is yes, because kapara, as we know, is done through the sprinkling of the blood. So even if those steps would have been missed, so it's not the end of the world, we still would have gotten kapara. And so therefore, it could be done with your left hand because those are not kapara portions of the avoda. On the other hand, when you're talking about bringing in the coals and the guitars into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you can't do the next step of the Avodah and Yom Kippur without bringing in the guitars. And so the guitars is being held in your left hand, and it is an Avodah HaMa'akev. It holds back the Avodah. You can't go on to the next step. You can't sprinkle the blood without this Avodah. Obviously now, our Mishnah over here is going to be a much stronger proof to this idea that if you do halacha with your left hand, so it would be, at least b'di'evit, it would be kasher. And precedent for that is seen by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Meisvei obviously is a continuation of the discussion, but we're going to pick it up with Meisvei tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's quickly recap. Today's daf was basically a how-to in terms of kmitza, in terms of chafina. When it comes to kmitza, the Gemara asks a series of three questions by Rav Papa in terms of varying ways of doing the kmitza. Gemara leaves his questions unresolved. Rav Papa also asks four varying ways of how to do the chafina. Outside of the standard way. Standard way is to take your hands and to scoop them into the guitarist and then raise your hands up. Now with two handfuls of guitarist, that's hopefully I'm describing it well and hopefully I'm right, but that's the standard way of doing it. The Gemara asked about four different deviant ways of doing so, and all four of them the Gemara remains with a teku. It is not... The Gemara then goes on to ask a series of other questions, notably... as we are on the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Let's say the chometz is taken off of the mincha, and instead of put into the second kli sharis on the bottom of it, it's put on the side of it. Or alternatively, it's inverted and it's put on the concave bottom. So would that be acceptable? So in both cases, the Gemara said teku and teku. When we do the chafina of the melo chafna of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so is it going to be heaping? Is it going to be leveled? The two handfuls of kataris, and to which the Gemara says neither. Now it's not going to be leveled. It's not going to be heaping. It's going to just go a little bit over his hands. The Gemara asked the question: when the Kohen Gadol does the melo chafna of the kataris, and it falls out of his hands onto the floor, is that tantamount to the blood going directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor, which is pasul, or is it tantamount to the blood being collected in the klisharis, then falling onto the ground, which would mean it would be kosher? Gemara leaves this question unresolved. On bringing us almost to the Amud Beis, the Gemara wants to know, machshava pigel, regarding the Kohen Gadol and the Malo Chafnav. So is there going to be a machshavas pigel? The Gemara wants to know, are we really connecting it via Gzer Shava to that of the Kometz of a Mincha? If the Gzer Shava does connect it, we know there's pickle by a Mincha, so there would be Mincha, there would be pickle by the Kataris as well. On this, the Gemara believes that it has the right answer, and the answer is yes, it would be subject to the Machshavas pickle. As we move to the top of the Amud Beis, next question of the Gemara, what about if the Kohen has a Machshava while doing while collecting the coals, is that also subject and eligible to a machshava of pigel? The Gemara left that question unresolved. And two ways to explain the Gemara's question, and we quickly went through Rashi's two versions. And finally, the last question of today's daf: if that halacha was done with the left hand of the Kohen while doing halacha, so is that going to be possible or not? The Gemara right now believes that it is absolutely precedented that if you do halacha with your left hand, it would be valid. How do we know that? So we actually have two Mishnahs that support this idea. Our Mishnah over here, the first Mishnah, the fifth parak of Yuma, describing the Kohen Gadol going in, doing a halacha, bringing in both the spoon and the shovel, spoon in the left hand, shovel in the right hand. There you see that you could do it with your left hand. And also the Mishnah Tamid, as the Kohanim are marching up the ramp with the Evarim of the Karban Tamid. So once again, left hand and right hand are being employed. Our Mishnah happens to be a better proof, says the Gemara, because our Mishnah is talking about the kind of halacha that becomes essential, as opposed to the Mishnah and Tamid, which is not as essential. We stop here.